Ziggy Baba. Icky Chicky Baba, Icky Chicky Baba, Icky Chicky Biggy Wiggy, Icky Chicky Baba.
Welcome the new morning.
Youngins Podcast. Previously on the Youngins Podcast.
I always sound boring on the podcast.
You don't sound boring.
It depends on what mood I'm in.
No, 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 Mr. Kennedy. You're absolutely fine. He doesn't need a bit of encouragement. We can do this.
Tony Chestnut knows I love him. Tony knows. Tony knows.
It's a good podcast this week, isn't it? Very little Michael Hughes. Yeah, you see, we do listen to your feedback, listeners. I think suggesting that we string him up by his testicles was a little bit harsh, though, to be fair. Off, you f***ing little
f***er. Warners! Unbelievable!
Hong Kong, crash, whap, beep, woo, crack, beep, beep.
Adam and Steve it. It's the Young'uns Podcast. 116. Coming up this week, the Young'uns have a little run-in with the police. Once again, we enter the mind of Mr. Sean Cooney. In the past, when we've done that, he's brought us stories of talking sheep and adventuring babies. But this week, it's a much darker and sinister affair as we journey into a post-apocalyptic folk festival. What does Viking headwear, table tennis, the TARDIS and elephants all have in common? Find out on this week's Young'uns Podcast. A couple of weeks ago, an old friend of the Young'uns Podcast, Martin Nesbitt, who many people who listen to the podcast series of old will remember for his comedy music, his humorous stories, and for the Young'uns Podcast features such as Nesbitt's Nuggets and Nesbitt's Nuts. 2 weeks ago, Martin died. He had terminal cancer, and we want to celebrate his life and remember him through his music and his comedy, which is why we'll have a song from Martin Nesbitt, and we'll also hear an anecdote from the Young'uns Podcast about Jehovah's Witnesses, and I'll also be talking about Jehovah's Witnesses as well. Music-wise, as well as Martin Nesbitt, we've got Gilmore and Roberts live from Chester Folk Festival, and a collaborative effort with the Young'uns and Sam Carter. All that and more coming up on the 116th Young'uns Podcast, which goes by the name of Nazi Satnav. All my friends will be revealed.
Thank you.
Warren Roberts live from Chester Folk Festival and a brilliant gig that we did together this week on the Bank Holiday Monday evening. And it's brilliant to see them again. We've obviously had them on the podcast before, old friends of the Young'uns podcast, but we always say once a friend of the Young'uns podcast, always a friend of the Young'uns podcast, which is why they shall be future podcast guests. It'd be about 5 or 6 years ago when we interviewed them last. Anyway, it's time to find out why this week's Young'uns podcast is called Nazi Satnav. And this is taken from a gig that we did a couple of days ago in Halifax at the Ryburn Folk Club.
Yeah, we've been on this, it's the last night of our Satnav defying national tour. We started in Chippenham and we went to Hull and we went to Chester. And we went to Maidenhead, and now we're in Halifax or Selby Bridge.
And Michael Satnav. I don't know what's wrong with Michael Satnav, but we think there's some sort of weird glitch in it where it's pronouncing Hull as Heil.
Yeah.
And we think, does yours do that? Because we thought we might have been sold like a Nazi Satnav. I mean, we're a bit afraid to do the updates because what's he going to say next? At the second exit, turn Reich.
After 800 yards, keep right, M62, towards Heil.
Heck, fellas.
Imagine if you could program your name in, though. Keep right. So you called yourself Hitler, and it'll say, towards Heil, Hitler. Nazis, that enough. I think we need to start following up things that we talk about on the Young'uns podcast a bit more. I think we need to, now it's gone to a weekly thing, I think we can afford to kind of explore these themes a little bit more. So maybe next week we'll get in touch with the manufacturers of the Satnav and we'll find out what, you know, if they're aware, if their Satnavs are trying to sort of espouse Nazi propaganda. The Young'uns podcast investigates, and maybe this will be the first in a new thing, the Young'uns podcast, folk music and investigative journalism. Who knows? We probably do. It probably won't. But, you know, you can dream. And talking of dreams, what a brilliant link, because now we go to Mr. Cooney in bed, and Mr. Cooney had a rather odd dream.
A new feature for the podcast called Cooney's Dreams. You're just walking up, Mr. Cooney.
Oh, dear, it was horrible.
So what have we had then in this?
Well, not in the same bed, listeners.
No, we're in the same bed. Well, listeners, I'll be able to tell that by listening to the spatial acoustics between us.
Oh, God, it was awful. It was like one... If I could remember it all, I'm sure I could, like, become rich from making the script, because it was fantastic. Fantastically scary. That was petrified. It was kind of set in this post-apocalyptic folk festival. And all, like, the random people who had seen over the weekend and people who just appeared on telly last night before we went to bed were all in it, and then kids from school were in it, like the school I work at, like with guns. There's loads of like tiny babies as well, the size of dolls or smaller. It's the size of ornaments. There was one woman we know, and she'd lost all her hair, and she lost her face. Her face was just normal skin, not scarred, just nothing, just skin. And then on the back of her head, she'd had like a makeshift face made.
Because that was sensible.
Plastic surgery. So I was trying to talk to the back of the head where the face was, and she kept saying, "What are you looking at that for? Talk to my face." You know, there were these naughty kids from school who had guns, and something happened. Somebody dropped something, and a mine exploded. And we were kind of running through this festival site, which was now just kind of tarmac and with holes in it. And they kept throwing stuff to set off the mines, and we were dodging in and out, explosions all around. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, I mean, because this dream, it felt like it went on for like years. It was like epic. Just before the end, all these kind of railway tracks began to kind of appear, like as if some, like an invisible workforce were putting them down. And then with the last explosion, this like kind of London tube train came roaring out of nowhere. And I was suddenly in somewhere else. So almost like the mind of the sorcerer who put the whole thing together. And it was Churchill. And Churchill held me in this big squeezing, suffocating bear hug to kill me. And everything had come. It was almost like everything that happened in my dreams had to take place for the London Underground to work. And he said, as he was choking me to death, he was saying, oh, my God, this is all. He said, I do think this is over, but the story will begin again every time. You'll think you're dying now, but it will start again and again, and it will go on forever. And this train was roaring towards us. And then I was like trying to wake myself up. I was thinking, oh, bloody hell, maybe it's not a dream. And I longed to see the chair in this, in the corner of the room. Oh, dear me.
But in between this, there's 20 hours in Countdown.
Oh, yeah, forgot about that. Yeah, you were in it. Joe Brand was in it. Maybe it was like Countdown from the Apocalyptic Festival. And you were making a massive point about this word, and no one believed you, but then you proved it with a dictionary. You said, gapped. Gapped. And everyone, what? Gapped. Yes, you idiots, gapped. And then it was something like, to bring communal enjoyment through reading. You were truly gapped. One of you was to make merry. To make merry. Canoodly for the power of speech. We were all gapped.
Excellent.
I think we should do that more often. We should keep a dream diary on the podcast. And maybe as well as that, we could do the dreams of other folk people as well, other folk musicians. So if any folk performers have had any dreams that they want to share with us, get in touch with the Young Uns podcast. This is the kind of thing that Radio 2 aren't covering at the moment. Let's talk about folk dreams. And because it's not on the BBC or anything like that, if they're a bit sort of, a bit naughty, a bit dirty, why not? Why not get in touch with the podcast and share your naughty dreams with the youngins? And now, Sam Carter, who's not telling us about a dream, but we're going to hear a collaborative effort between Sam Carter, the Arisen Award-winning Sam Carter, and the non-award-winning Youngins. Anyway, we collaborated with Sam Carter at a recent gig that we did in Humberside, and it's a version of the title track of Sam's latest album, The No Testament, and we're going to play that very shortly, but first, it's time to find out a little bit about what might constitute Sam Carter's rider.
Having a really lovely evening so far. We're getting looked after so well. We've got water from a glass bottle. We've got this fantastic green room out the back, but we've had this wonderful buffet. But the green room's full of these like incredible things, and we're wondering if they're there all the time or if they're on Sam Carter's rider. Because if you go in, there's literally, I'll tell you what, there's three things that stand out. There's a TARDIS, a full, proper Doctor Who TARDIS, there's an enormous white elephant, and there's a ping pong table. It's incredible.
Isn't there some Viking helmets as well?
Yeah. You know what kinky thing Sam normally gets up to? He's probably really devastated when he found it was just sharing a dressing room with us. Oh dear, unbelievable. Cancel the Doctor Who's assistants, not tonight.
It's what you live. mine.
Bottle.
A sounding that's mine.
Bottle.
Some fool.
Sam Carter. Well, sorry, Sam Carter with the Young'uns. He did most of the work, to be fair. Sam Carter there with the Young'uns and the North Testament. And we'll be back with Sam Carter at Beverley Folk Festival, so if he's not dead set on avoiding us, if we didn't intimidate him completely, then hopefully we'll be able to have an interview with him and maybe a couple of live tracks as well. Anyway, last week on the podcast, we were speaking to Josiane Clark and Ben Walker, and we were talking about the fact that they had a remix done of their track Fire and Fortune. They got Pete Flood from Bellowhead to do it. And I said, why didn't they get the Young'uns to do a remix? Because we have a feature on the podcast called The Young'uns in the Mix, where we mix pop songs and folk songs, The Prodigy with sea shanties, for instance. So they said, well, go ahead and do a remix. Well, I haven't had the chance to do that, so it may never happen. I do apologise. Well, unless they pay me, of course. I've not really had the time, because we've been gigging for the last 6 days all over the place. But when I was listening to the No Testament there, I suddenly thought, though, that could work on top of Fire and Fortune. So Fire and Fortune, at the start, it sounds like this. And, of course, all the way through the North Testament, you've got this. So I'm thinking, you know, change the key slightly, and you've essentially, you can use the Fire and Fortune bit over the top of the Sam Carter thing. So let's have a listen to how that sounds. So it kind of works there. So there you are. That's a sort of a off-the-cuff remix there. A spontaneous remix of Fire and Fortune, Sam Carter. That's another collaboration that Sam Carter's done. He's collaborating left, right and centre. We could put him over all sorts of different things. Maybe that's what we'll do next week. We'll take that track and we'll just remix it over and over again. See how many songs we can get into that Sam Carter song. Because I imagine it wouldn't be too difficult to do because it's in the same key all the way through. It's got the same chord. Now, the Young'uns, I forgot to talk about this at the start of the podcast when I was prefacing what was coming up. The Young'uns have an answer for world peace, I believe.
Thank you very much. I heard a wonderful thing today. I don't know if you did, but apparently the English Defence League arranged to hold a picket or a rally or a protest outside a mosque in York. And only four people turned up, apparently. But the wonderful people from the mosque decided that the best way to deal with it was to bring out a tray of biscuits invited them in and offered them a game of football. They were playing football. Wasn't that fantastic?
Yeah, did they accept?
Oh, I don't know.
Did they? Hang on a minute, how fickle do you have to be? Down with the Muslims! Down with the Muslims! We hate our biscuits.
I know you're thinking,
don't shout that too loud, Davey. Yeah, someone has just opened the door there thinking, oh my God, I knew there was something about that man.
There's got to be a song in that anyway, biscuits and tea, so how does Yorkshire defeat fascism? A good cup of tea.
It's a great song, isn't it?
Yeah.
Worth a thought, Banky Moon. Calling all geography teachers, the Young'uns need you. Let's find out why, shall we?
Last night, we had a great gig last night, but we were a bit worried because we were down in Maidenhead, you see, and last week the phone was up and said, you don't know, lads, we've only sold four tickets.
Brilliant Maidenhead accent you've got going on there.
And so Michael said, we've really got to have a big push on this, lads. I've been emailing every local radio station, every local newspaper, and we've got to get the message out. If you are in Kent, you should come and see the Youngs at home. So Michael, there's something wrong with that. Maidenhead's not in Kent. He was thinking of Maidstone. So Dave did a great interview on BBC Radio Kent last week. Yeah. We're a bit confused. We've got some CDs available with us. We've also got a mailing list now. Lots of information of where you can...
Well, we think you can see us. We're still worth checking the two. It's going to make very interesting reading. We were a bit worried for absolutely ages. There was only four people, as we said here. And they contacted us on Twitter to say, we're a bit worried because we've got tickets 3 and 4. And we thought, oh my God, this is tough. But anyway, we thought, if this continues like this, we're going to just contact them on Twitter and say, look, cut our losses. Why don't we just go around your house? You'll make us tea. We'll just do it for free, for goodness sake. Unbelievable.
We'll have a couple more clips from those live gigs before we go. But first, we received the sad news a couple of weeks ago that Martin Nesbitt, who we old friend of the Young'uns podcast, listeners may remember, for those people who don't know, Martin Nesbitt was a great comedy songwriter from the northeast of England, great raconteur as well, and he was also sort of a regular on the podcast, really, in the old podcast series that ran between 2006 and 2008, with such features as Nesbitt's Nuggets, which is basically where he would just tell an anecdote, basically. We would just give him a subject. He'd have a story on it, literally. You could just give him a subject more or less straight away, and he would have a story about it. And, of course, so the other feature, Nesbitt's Nuts, which all came about because he happened to say just something like, oh, I'm looking forward to eating me nuts tonight. And of course, much hilarity ensued. And then it just it sort of transpired that he was a bit of a nut enthusiast, a sort of a nut anorak. And so he said, well, I'll tell you what then, as well as Nesbitt's Nuggets, why don't we do Nesbitt's Nuts, where each week you talk about a different nut every single week. I mean, this is quality material, ladies and gentlemen. I know you're thinking, oh, what am I doing listening to this podcast? You know, what happened to those days? You know, David obviously knew about quality entertainment back then. Nowadays, he just plays clips from his own gigs. We had a little jingle for Nesbitt's Nuts, and this was the jingle that we used for Nesbitt's Nuts.
And now, Nesbitt's Nuts with Martin Nesbitt, exclusive to the Young'uns podcast. Warning, this feature may contain nuts. This week, Martin Nesbitt's Nut of the Week is... the Walnut.
There you are. Nice to hear that again. I thought we'd play it one more time because we will never be playing that again, obviously, because if we ever did decide to bring back Nesbitt's Nuts, then unless there's someone else called Nesbitt who's a nut enthusiast, I don't think it'll be returning to the Youngest Podcast. And to be honest, it wouldn't return anywhere, because even if we found the professor, the nutty professor himself, happened to be called Nesbitt, I don't think anyone could beat what Martin Nesbitt did. I don't think he really remembered for nuts. I don't think, you know, and I don't think that would have been in his eulogy. Anyway, before we hear an anecdote from Martin about Jehovah's Witnesses, let's hear one of his songs. And this is one of his particular favourites. This is The Mechanical Man.
I've always been unlucky, especially with men. Each time I'd mend my broken heart, it got broken once again. Then one day, in the paper, an advert caught my eye. The chance to buy and build myself a real mechanical guy. I sent off for a man-sized box of fabricated steel, full of springs and levers, switches, cogs and wheels. I followed the instructions and I laid him on the floor. But emotions got the best of me, so I laid him a little bit more. I've built myself a man of steel, a shining hunk with sex appeal. And although I know not real, he's the man for me. I tightened up the twiddly bits that hold his parts together, made from finest stainless steel, the kind that lasts forever, programmed by a microchip to carry out my wishes. He does my ironing, mows the lawn, and washes up my dishes. I built myself a man of steel, a shining hunk with sex appeal. And although I know he's not real, he's the man. Well, he doesn't have a voice box, so he can't answer back. He hasn't got a heart, so he can't have a heart attack. But the part of him I love the most, that fulfills my desires, are his great big bright and sexy eyes that bounce around on wires. Always wanted, he's just the perfect guy. He'll stand rock solid by my side until the day I die. Always at my beck and call, washing, cleaning, dusting. And all I do is oil his nuts to keep his joints from rusting. Shining hunk with sex appeal. And although I know he's not real, he's the man for me. Sometimes when I get lonesome, I hunger for his touch. He's so strong and gentle. How I need my man so much. I take him as my lover, but we do no more than kissing. 'Cause the very part I need the most is the only part that's missing. A man for me.
Mechanical Man, Martin Nesbitt. We're celebrating the life of an old friend of the Young'uns podcast, Martin Nesbitt, and who died last week. And we're going to end this week's Young'uns podcast with an anecdote, a little conversation that we had about Jehovah's Witnesses. And recently, in fact, I had some Jehovah's Witnesses come to my door, and they said to me, "Blessed are the meek." God said, "Blessed are the meek, you know, for they shall inherit the earth." And I said, "Well, in that case, you know, well, bugger off. You're not very meek, are you? If you're standing here trumpeting about God, that's not particularly meek, is it?" And I think that floored them for a little bit. But they said, "They shall inherit the earth." And then she said to me, "Yeah, but I don't want to, I'm not bothered about inheriting the earth." And I said, "Well, of course you're not, because you're meek. You know, I mean, that's the flaw in the whole thing. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." When you think, well, the last thing, that if you're meek, the last thing you're going to want to do is inherit the earth. Yeah, if you're meek, the last thing you're going to want to do is inherit the earth. But of course, being meek, they won't answer back. That's the problem. You've inherited the earth. I'd rather not, actually, God, if it's all the same to you. I'd rather just have, you know, curl up with a good book or something like that. So anyway, here's a little conversation that me and Martin had a few years ago now for the Young'uns podcast. and we were talking about Jehovah's Witnesses. Jehovah's Witnesses, now the reason I'm talking about that, Martin, is because a Jehovah's Witness, a couple of Jehovah's Witnesses came to my door. When they knocked on the door, they then said who they were and what they were there for, and apparently they're here to preach the good news of the Bible, because apparently there's going to be some great things happening. The Bible has prophesied that there's going to be some great things happening very shortly, apparently. So I didn't mention to them the fact that I think they predicted the fact that the world is going to end 3 times in the 80s. Have you got anything you'd like to add to Jehovah's Witnesses?
Well, I was just wondering if great things do great things actually happen in Hartlepool?
Well, according to the... I don't know whether this was...
I suppose it'd be a first, wouldn't it?
I don't know whether this was just specifically to Hartlepool. I don't know whether the Bible had preached that something great was going to happen in Hartlepool, or whether it was a kind of a universal truth. I'm not quite sure about that.
Well, anyway, I know there's quite a few Jehovah's Witnesses in Saltburn. I was invited to go for a sing-song in a pub, and I didn't know, but... The people who invited me, I didn't know at the time they were Jehovah's Witnesses. So anyway, I went to the pub for a sing-song, and they were all singing nice, beautiful, respectable, folky kind of songs. And me being me, I thought, I'd be a bit mischievous, and I'd do something more lively, so I'd done My Ding-a-ling by Chuck Berry. I remember said when. Anyway, when I was singing it, the room went quiet. People started flicking through magazines and books and looking at it, and one or two people gave me like funny looks. And I went right the way through the song. And when I'd finished, I said to the man in charge, "What happened there?" I said, "There was like an air came over the room." He said, "Well, it was a bit outrageous, that, Martin." He said, "You know it was banned off the radio, don't you?" I said, "It was banned off the radio 40 years ago. Things have moved on since then. You know, there's all kinds of filth on the TV." So, and I thought it was really tame and mild. Anyway, I got a dressing down off this like Jehovah's Witness who put me in my place and let me know his feelings on it. And it turned out that this man was having an affair with a woman all the time while he was giving me the holier than thou treatment.
Right.
Made me feel down in the dumps.
He was having an affair with a woman.
So... It came out. At the time, it came out, and I thought...
The affair or the ding-a-ling?
Holier than thou, and all the time...
Exactly. In fact, when a Jehovah's Witness comes to my door, if you want to get them away, don't tell them to F off. Don't throw something at them. Just all you got to do is sing My Ding-a-ling. The Jehovah's Witnesses will run.
You know, you might have one visiting your house anyway, because from what I've learned, there's Jehovah's Witnesses enjoy window cleaning. Nearly everyone I know is a window cleaner.
Wow!
Did you know that?
This is brilliant. I'm enjoying this now, Martin, because I just love I love the sweeping generalisations that we're both coming out with.
I realised, brilliant. I thought, oh, look at that, fancy that so-and-so is a Jehovah's Witness, is also a window cleaner. Oh, really? So-and-so is also a window cleaner. I thought, that's unusual. And then somebody approached me out of the blue, talking about a different subject, mentioned that his window cleaner was also a Jehovah's Witness. And
are you sure they're not the same Jehovah's Witnesses?
No, different fellas. People, but he put it to me, and it was his suggestion. I don't know, so maybe Jehovah's Witnesses know better than I do. But he said, because Jehovah's Witnesses have to donate so much of their wages towards the church, if they get the money in cash, which window cleaners do, then they don't have to donate.
My goodness, Martin Nesbitt, comedy songwriter, great raconteur, and conspiracy theorist. You'll be there in heaven now, eating nuts, ladies and gentlemen. So at the start of the Young'uns podcast, I said the Young'uns had a little run-in with the police. To be honest, nothing really massive happened, but, you know, we'll make a story out of anything. So here is what happened on our way back from our gig in Maidenhead.
So on the way back from Kent last night, we had like this marathon. we had this marathon drive up to where I live in Manchester. And it must have been about 2 a.m, and we were 5 minutes from my house, and
I'd been absolutely desperate for the toilet. I was like counting it down. I'd worked it out to know how fast we were going. I had my mobile phone sat nav on, and I was working, which isn't a Nazi sat nav, and I was having a look at what was going on. I was like, and I was like, calibrating everything, so I knew how long it was going to be before I could go to the toilet. And then right, literally about what, 2 miles away from your house, Mr. Cooney?
After
this driving.
Yeah, we must have kind of swerved across the central reservation.
Yeah, it only took out 2 cars and I got a policeman.
Well, you were driving, Michael, anyway.
I wasn't driving, was I?
point that out. And the flashing lights came, and this police car pulled up behind us, and you know, I was fearing a bit for Michael, and you know, he wound the window down, and the policeman came up. You could hear the boots tapping, and just as he said, "Excuse me, could you mind opening the window?" He pulled it down, and this idiot says, "Oh dear me! Well, it's going to be even longer until I get to empty my bladder now, isn't it?"
He was then arrested. Spent the night in jail.
It wasn't the PC, I wanted to do the WC. So my message was I got scrambled. Anyway, not to worry, let's do a bit of James Taylor.
Did you make it in the end?
Well, yeah.
There was an awful smell in the car, my friend, so
there's not more to that story. Yeah, they're starting to breathalyze him, saying, "I can smell something on your breath." "Sorry, officer, that's not what you can smell on my breath."
Well, there may be time to act on this, but by the time this podcast is out, tickets might all be sold, because we're going to do something rather different, something we've never done before. We're going to host our very own Young'uns Weekend.
We've got some an exciting thing we're looking forward to later in the year. We're going to do we've booked Kendall New Hostel. We've got 48 beds available. And we're going to have a weekend in Kendall with lots of workshops, an intimate concert, and lots of laughs. So we're going to dare anybody
who's... You said that.
In Essex.
On Essex. I thought you said, and sex.
Well, perhaps. Hold your horses, Tim. Hold your horses. Where they get involved? Do you?
And, we're going to dare people to come away for a weekend with us. But if you'd like more information on that, have a look on our website.
Releasing tomorrow.
You said?
Sorry, I'm interrupting people here. I apologise.
What was that?
So that will...
Hang on, someone's trying to escape me.
Sorry, Keith.
Sorry,
Keith.
Just get on with it.
Oh,
you can put it, if you're too nervous, you can put it in writing and we can read it out.
Sorry. If we had more time, we'll tell you the time we went for a steak in Amsterdam. We keep
going. Oh, God.
Another gig. Book us again and we'll tell you that one.
But all those details come out tomorrow morning. If you're interested,
everything's included on the weekend ticket. Two nights in a hostel accommodation, all your food.
Going to be cooked.
Somebody else will cook. Lots of fun things, and so have a look on the website if you want more details.
Yes, have a look at the website, theyounguns.co.uk, and you're probably going to have to be quite quick, because I think we'd sold about 30 tickets within about 24 hours of it going up, and there's only 48 tickets available, so with a bit of luck, if you are interested, you'll still be in with a chance there. Well, thank you very much for listening. Next week is going to be very interesting, because we're going to speak to some students in America about sport. Hopefully I've created just the right amount of intrigue there for you to tune in next week to the Young'uns podcast. But till then, from me, David Eagle, and my fellow Young'uns, goodbye.
You've ruined it by involving the audience.
Hang on, no, it was you that. What happened there?
It was me.
No, yeah. Can we listen to the recording back? What happened there?
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Me? You must have gone, pick-a-lab-a-len, 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 and then did it three times.
Are we supposed to do it? No, I did it twice. We're supposed to do it twice.
Yeah, I did it twice.
You're an idiot.
No, I did do it twice. I did do it twice.
No, I'm sorry.
Was I supposed to do it twice or three?
You were meant to do it twice, but you did.
Can I just say, by the way, I can't wait. Hang on, someone in the audience has been impersonating Sean Cooney there.
I tell you what, I can't wait to hear that mistake on the way home.
We'll see who it is anyway.
Could you stamp it to it? Well, I've got to change the key now.
Oh, why not? Why not, sir? Oh, that was...
syncopated stamping.
Oh no, you're laughing at me now. Don't
no, no, come on. Come on.
Pick a level then. Pick a level then. Pick a level then. Learn how to play the game. Pick a level then. Sugar navigate.
No, I do apologise. I see what happened now.
Oh, do you?
Yes, I do, yes.
Did you make a mistake?
I think it was... I think more of a sort of a recalibration of maybe what we should do in the future.
I tell you this, you know, Dave.
I was thinking on my feet, and by that I mean concentrating on my stamping.
Hey, Dave, right, you know, yes? he takes pride in saying that he never ever makes mistakes. At Whitby Festival a couple of years ago, you know, they have this, they have a morning, what's like a newsletter thing, isn't it?
Every day they have an update about all the changes in the programme and stuff.
And that, yeah. And the day before on the stage, David made a massive mistake during one of the songs. It actually made that newsletter. The top headline, David Eagle from Young'uns makes crucial error. Yeah.
I don't know if it was 2 minutes past five.
Yeah. I don't know if they were referring to that particular thing or if it was just in general.